We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Everyone talking about the heat. I've never, of course, I'm interested in the weather. What's it going to be? Blah, whatever. But I never really worried much about it. Thank you, Trish. I'm sort of worried about it this weekend. I'm not worried. Like, I'm going to not be okay.
Thank you. You're definitely fixated on it.
Yeah, I really am. I'm not sure exactly why. So, anywho, I'm just saying to Rage, the hardest part of the show to me is right now. The starting. It's weird.
Me too, because I'm out of breath.
Starting a four, yeah. Trish, I have to give you credit. You've been in radio longer than me. So you're like a veteran, a journeyman, a big deal, a famous person. And yet here, since you're helping us out, you're like almost literally running and getting coffee.
Yeah, I'm like the intern.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I just
exactly
ran to
right.
the printer, and I thought it was one printer, and it was the other. So I was running around. I'm like, they're going to be mad at me because I'm late. So I was running.
No, you can take it down 80%, and you're still killing it.
Putting in a lot of effort.
The only thing Rach and I have said to each other away from you is, I don't think she gets how lazy we are. Like, I don't think she understands.
Well, somebody's got to do something.
Ouch. Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay, I'm just going to start talking. It never ceases to amaze me how fragile life is. Not just like, oh my God, I almost died, but how quickly your life can change. I was driving home a couple nights ago, and I always go down Tucker toward Highway 70, and there's an area right by St. Patrick Center on the right, if you're in my car, where a bunch of homeless people hang out. And so I'm driving there, and it's all green light, so I'm going, whatever I'm going, 35, 40 miles an hour, whatever you go downtown. And one of the guys from over there comes running across the street and just ran right in front of my car, so close that he slammed his left hand on my hood and sort of jumped a little bit. And then, of course, gave me this one, like, hey, what's up with that? And I caught another driver's face, and he just shook his head like, what is going on?
Like, if you were 2 seconds.
If I had been
earlier.
If I had been
faster,
hundreds of a seconds faster, I would have killed him. Mm. And then my life's over. Because even if the cops come and witnesses say what happened and they're like, okay, Mr. Glover, you're not going to be charged, I just killed the guy with my car.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Replaying my life that is in your head all
exactly.
day. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And just because this idiot, I'm going to say idiot, I'm sorry, just I get to run across the street anytime I want to, even though there are 2,000-pound pieces of metal going 40 miles an hour. I just, bleh. And then another time, and it's not like this only happens to me, it happens to everyone, but especially in the day of texting, I was going down a two-lane road. I can't remember which one it was, but it's a fairly major two-lane road. And a kid younger than me was coming toward me in a truck looking at his phone. And I can see him looking at his phone. We're that close. And he just swerves right into my lane.
That scares me.
And it was one of those at the very last minute, I'm sure he dropped his phone and wah, went the other way. But I'm like, again, hundredths of a second, I'm dead. My kids are fatherless. That just screws with me. Just how easy it is, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy when you really think about the amount of vehicles that are on the road and the level of distracted that most people are. Like, most people are not just driving. They're listening to a podcast, or they're talking on the phone, or they're texting, or they're typing something into GPS. It's a miracle that more bad stuff doesn't happen.
Miracle. Oh, you had to think about this on the Google Doc today about billboards.
Ah, yeah.
That dovetails.
I don't know why I started paying attention today. I never pay attention to billboards. Something caught my eye. Started
it said,
looking
Trish.
At
them. We're talking
That's
to you.
Trish Gazelle.
She's like, what?
Me? No, I just saw all these billboards and they look horrible and you can't read half of them.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, sometimes the type is so small that you're like, am I supposed to be able to read that?
And there's never a traffic jam going 55 north. So I get it in areas where there may be a slowdown. But, you know, one was a glass of, you could tell it was whiskey or bourbon or I don't know what. I couldn't even see what brand it was. It's like, why are you wasting your money on this? I know why they had them in the past. But in this day and age, I don't know. And a lot of them aren't kept up very well, or they're faded, mm-hmm. or, you know, something's fallen off. I'm like, I would not. And then I looked up how much they were. I mean, it's not astronomical, but if you're a small business or something, it's like $2,000 a month mm-hmm. if you want a really big one, $1,000 if you want a mid-sized one. But
see, I'm the opposite. I feel like I see every single one of them.
Really?
I can't not see them. And I've had them. Chuck's Boots paid for a Dave Glover billboard last year. Happy to have it. But I also marvel that they're legal. You know,
because it because distracts.
Because it's not just that it distracts, but because it's made to distract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good billboard unless you take your eyes off the road and read it.
Now, let me say, I get it for things like that, like listen to the Dave Glover show or an event coming up. I don't get it for a product that you can't read. Like, I don't get that. Mm-hmm. There's always that pain one I see. I mean, I get that, too, I guess. But
man, am I just like super small town, or was it also a big deal whenever places started getting like the light up signs? Like if a bank gets a sign that lights up and can change the message every 15 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
When we started getting those in Alton and Grafton, it was like, are we really going to stand for this? There's going to be accidents everywhere.
We need a committee.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go existential, even though the show just started. We've been talking lately. We talk a lot. Everyone talks a lot about how nuts everything is and people committing crimes. I just talked about the homeless guy hit my car. And I have a theory. And being an agnostic, the answer to this question, I'm sure for most of you, is God. Okay, perfect. I feel like people need a better reason than they have right now to be good people. Does that make sense? I'm not sure what we lost. Maybe it is that people are becoming less religious. Maybe it's just COVID. Maybe it's whatever. I don't know. Technology, social media. But we talked about the other day, and I don't put people who shoot up schools in the same category as people who ran out in front of me in my car. But there seems to be an overall like, yeah, we don't care anymore. We're going to do what we're going to do. And if people get hurt, that's fine. In the olden days, it seems like God was plenty to keep you in the straight and narrow because you're going to go to hell. And people are like, I probably shouldn't do this thing because I don't want to go to hell. We need either that reason again. I'm not a believer in hell, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or something else, because it seems like we just don't have anything that's really, it seems like we're in the middle. We've kind of lost that. A lot of people have. But we don't have anything new.
I'm trying to think why I do good things.
I disagree with you, Dave. I don't think it's a God issue necessarily. I think it's the people who are in charge are just as flawed as the rest of us. So we don't have role models anymore. We don't have anyone leading the way and doing the right thing when it comes to government or athletes or celebrities, whatever. People in the public eye mess up all the time. And not only do they mess up, they celebrate being a jerk. Like when you have Ted Cruz and AOC tweeting back and forth at each other and just, you know, getting as petty and as childish as possible. There are no grown-ups in the room anymore.
Excellent point.
So it's like, it's just more and more acceptable to act like a petulant child because that's all we ever see from people who are supposed
the
to
very
lead by example.
Top people. Yeah. What I came up with was expectations. I'm only 56. I'm not 156. In my lifetime, when I was young, I had expectations put on me by my teachers that I followed. I wasn't perfect, but I wasn't going to not do my homework or get in trouble. I had expectations put on me by my coaches, by my parents. My parents had expectations put on them by their bosses. Like, people followed rules.
Yeah.
And the people who didn't were clearly outside. Does that make sense? They were criminals. They were thieves. They were this. They were that. Like, we all generally accepted that there were expectations in society, and I don't think we do anymore.
I don't know. When I lay my head down at night, if I hurt someone that day, or if I mean, it eats me up. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. So, obviously, I hate being that person. And I guess it is, I kind of believe in karma. Mm-hmm. If you're a bad person, bad things are going to happen to you. Or if you're a good person, good things are going to happen to you. And also, yeah, my parents, I want them to be proud and happy, and my family and my friends. So if I do something wrong, it absolutely eats me up.
Yeah, because you know that if you were to do something wrong, the people in your life would be disappointed with you, and there would be consequences.
Yes.
Whether, I mean, it's not just like, we hate you, Trish, but it would bother you to disappoint those people.
Disappointment.
Yeah. But I think in general, we've lost that. Yeah. With each other. It's like, oh, because no one's really that disappointed in me if I just do whatever I want all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how a lot of people feel. I don't relate to, I try to do good things because I don't want to be bad. Like, I try to be better because I don't want to be worse. But I think a lot of people just get comfortable and they go like, eh, this is what I'm going to do. Why would I try any harder? That's
one more question. Then we're going to talk to Kevin Killeen because he's as bad as I know. Do you think it's that no one, everyone agrees with you, well, I don't want to be bad either. I just don't think that what I'm doing is bad.
Or, they don't know.
Okay.
They don't know what they're,
so no one just goes, I don't care.
Well, I think, not everyone, but a lot of people are so unaware of what they're doing. And there's no one around them to say, you're being a jerk. Or you're just not being a nice person. Yeah, I think a lot of people are very unaware.
Or whenever they're called out and it's, you're being a jerk, you have a whole group of people who, it kind of doesn't matter what you did, you're going to find a pretty large group of people supporting you and saying, actually, I think it was great that you did that, and we need more of this.
Which you couldn't find before social media.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of bad things, Kevin Killeen is here. He was in the courtroom to see the McCluskeys plead guilty. Kevin, I know you've been following this. I was shocked. I can't believe they pled guilty to anything.
Well, they made a deal, and I said as they were coming down the steps, was this a good day or a bad day for the McCluskeys? And they said it was a good day. They pled guilty to fourth-degree assault rather than, first-degree unlawful use of a weapon, which was a serious jail time kind of thing. And all they have to do is she pays a $2,000 fine for waving her little pistol, mm-hmm. and he pays $750. He had the AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
And those guns, by court order, are part of the plea deal. They can't get them back. They were seized as evidence, and they will be destroyed. But McCloskey, who's running as a Republican for the U.S. Senate to replace Roy Blunt, hopped into a SUV and he said, if what I did was wrong, I would do it again. That kind of fits in with what you were just talking about.
It fits in perfectly.
But held them up. You know, they're heroes.
Well, it fits in perfectly
people.
What Rachel said.
Well, let's keep digging down here because Mark McCloskey has all these people who are lifting him up and saying, you did exactly what you were mm-hmm. supposed to do, Mark. The only reason they're doing that is because we all seized on him so hard. We couldn't just say, did you see those weirdos in the Central West End brandishing their weapons at those protesters? That was pretty messed up. We had to publicly shame them as hard as possible. And it was millions of memes and all over late night TV and just everywhere you turned, it was the dude in the pink polo and the woman in the striped shirt. When you go after someone that hard and you're like, we've got to make an example, all you do
reaction.
Is make them more famous. Mm-hmm. All you do is give them more supporters. Mm-hmm. So if we hadn't went after him with such a bloodlust, there's no way he would have all of these supporters. There's no way he'd be running for Senate.
You're right.
And you'd think that we would figure that out as a society sooner rather than later. But like, no, we keep making the same mistake over and over again.
Yeah, we can't lay off the fastball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't lay off the fastball.
You feel free to use that in your report.
So did they just take away those? Can they not own guns, or they just took away those two so they could be replaced? I'm just curious.
Yeah, they can still own guns. He can still run for public office. The fourth degree assault was explained by the attorney, meaning that he made people feel uncomfortable or they were endangered by their actions. And that's what he said he was referring to, why I'd do it again. And to your point about how he's a hero because Rachel, people picked on him too much, he says he's a hero, and he talked about it, because he stood the line against the mob that had burned the 7-Eleven recently. And what else had they done that summer a year ago? You know, they had created the idea that, you know, they might come into somebody's house and burn down the house. And that was his perception. They were coming to get him, and he didn't know they were just cutting through to get to the mayor's house. And,
so he saved the neighborhood.
He's like, this is the exact same group of people who burned down that 7-Eleven.
It's a great narrative. I don't agree with it, but it's a great story, and it's going to work.
As it did.
As it will. Thank you, Kev. Appreciate it. Welcome back, guys. DGS 225. Hello, Jerry. Go right ahead.
Another great day on the golf course.
Nice.
Anyway, I wanted to ask, can Mr. McClaskey still be an attorney in practice law with that conviction? Thank you.
As far as I know, yes. It's been 20 years since I practiced. I'm sure you can have a misdemeanor. The only ways you'd lose your law license is if the bar says, hey, you did something really terrible and we're going to take your license away. Someone files a bar complaint, and I believe a felony is plenty of reason for that, but they didn't plead to felonies. Plus, he's whatever else McCluskey is, he's not dumb, and so he's certainly not going to plead guilty to something that's going to take his law license away. So, yeah, I really, really doubt it. Good discussion that we just had, just to pat ourselves on the back. But I think we hit some truths there that, Rach, I completely agree with you. And it's both sides. Both sides do this. It's like Trump would never have been the phenomenon he was if the mainstream media didn't hate him so much and go after him so hard. You would have had some people who were incredibly passionate about him just because of the policies. But the fact that they went at him so hard made people go, hey, wait a minute. Leave him alone.
You get defensive of the thing you like, and then it makes you like it even more because now you're like the scrappy underdog. Everybody likes an underdog.
100%. Good thoughts. You take it up a notch there, Gazelle.
What do you want me to do?
Just more of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
You know, points like that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Get the inside story on what's happening with your St. Louis Cardinals this season directly from the Redbirds manager. It's the Mike Schilt Show, Sunday mornings at 10:15, sponsored by Bath Fitter, on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 235. I was just saying something bad about Mike Anderson, and Rach interrupted me. She's like, can you go on right now? Because I don't know about this song. I was like, oh, my God. No, Mike, what I was going to say is without your hat, you look like one of those guys in the movies that works for SETI that finds the alien signal. Like, I could see you, like on Armageddon or Deep Impact when there's a guy and he's eating pizza at 3 in the morning, and then it's like, and they're like, aliens.
And then he runs to his computer and goes.
Yeah, so what does the hat change about him?
I don't know. I don't see those guys wearing hats. You look like an academic, is what I'm trying to say.
Without the hat.
Without the hat.
Okay.
The hat, you're just like a regular guy.
The hat dumbs me down.
You're sort of like Clark Kent. Yeah. Okay. You take the hat off, you're like, that guy's going to find aliens.
I'll keep my eye out.
Just a thought. Hello, Judy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
This is our
greetings, earthlings.
Our very good friend, Judy. Judy is the poopah, the executive director of Operation Food Search.
I work there.
Oh, you are. The rest of the people are figurehead. Judy is our girl, and we have a long and storied history with Operation Food Search. We always do something around the holidays, and you guys always kill it. And then last year during COVID, we did a little miniature one, and you guys blew it out of the water. So we're a long way from the holidays. We're kind of on the tail end of COVID, but again, people forget. And so we just wanted to remind you that there are people still out there in need and people who have food insecurity. So we wanted to have Judy on. Judy, tell us what's going on in the summer of 2021.
Oh, I can't thank you guys enough. And for all of you listening out there live and online, it's just incredible what all of you have done over the years, and especially in the last year. Things are settling down a lot, and we all sure know an awful lot about the heartache and the hardship of the last year. And our programs, thanks to the support of our community and all of you in such a big way, they just exploded last year, along with the need. And as all of you know, we serve everyone, but our hearts really belong with kids. And that's our sweet spot and what we do at Operation Food Search. And so what we have seen with kids in every way who have suffered so much the last year between missing school and for kids who, a lot of them who have never before ever had to worry about their parents being able to put enough food on the table, we heard from thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've been like all of you out there. They've never had a problem before, and they suddenly found themselves without the means to be able to cover all their expenses. And food is a kind of an easy budget item to move. And so in our summer meal program, which continued just this one program all year long, we have served 1 million meals, which is more than triple at our normal rate.
Wow.
And that continues. And so 1 out of 4 kids here are food insecure, meaning they don't really know where their next meal is coming from, especially in the summertime. And so right now we have 35 sites with summer meals. They're all drive-through distributions to keep us all safe still. And we learned a lot over the time that kids and teens, it's not only them who are missing meals, but it's the family, the whole family. And so for 16 of the sites, something we're doing differently this summer is not only are we serving kids breakfast and lunches, but we're also providing food for the whole family for a week. And so we have family food boxes with canned goods and shelf-stable food, and we have a big fresh produce box to go out at our drive-through locations for these 16 sites. And for anyone out there who needs help, or if you know of anyone who needs help with food, you can go to find these sites at kids.operationfoodsearch.org. And you'll get a week's worth of meals per kid, 7 breakfasts and 7 lunches, the fresh produce box, a family food box. And so that's one of the big changes that we've done. There have been a lot of really good things that I think we've all learned, and new partnerships and efficiencies and all kinds of things that came from the pandemic. And so I know that for all of us at Operation Food Search, we'll be able to serve the community in ways that are just expanding and are exciting and are efficient and really great. And so thank all of you.
So we're talking to Judy Koyman from Operation Food Search. Judy, can you explain to our listeners that whenever they donate money to OFS, you guys explain how you're able to make a dollar stretch in ways that the average person may not be able to?
Well, we stretch it so it screams. Actually, we spend millions of dollars on food, buying food for a lot of our programs. And so we're able to buy food wholesale and by the truckload, truckloads and truckloads of food. We are able to go in and get a lot of food donations that we go and pick up from the grocers in particular, Schnucks and Deerberg, Straub's. We work with food manufacturers for food donations. So for every dollar that's donated, we're able to provide $10 in food and nutrition services to our region. And that's our bi-state region. We serve 27 counties across Missouri and Illinois.
And can you tell everyone?
Yay, team.
Can you tell everyone about the backpack program? Because DGS listeners know about it, but a lot of people are new to us from KMOX, and I think it's the most amazing thing people do.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And it's something that all the DGS and all of the fans of DGS have supported for so long. And it's a really tangible, you give and kids get kind of donation that you can make. And for that, we have, it's during the school year, and we found out that a lot of kids go home to not very much food who are on the free and reduced lunch program at schools. And so quite a few years ago, we developed a program called Operation Backpack, where kids will get an actual backpack at the beginning of the school year, and then every week on Fridays or the last day before the weekend or a break, kids will get a bag full of shelf-stable food that's kid-friendly. Our dietitians come up with a really nutritious rotating menu so they don't get the same things all the time. It's easy to prepare, easy to open, and it's free food for kids for the weekend so they can come back to school on Mondays refreshed and ready to learn. And it costs about $5 to feed a kid on the weekend to be able to provide this food for a kid. And there have been just remarkable amounts, hundreds of thousands of dollars that the DGS has raised for Operation Backpack, and it's not only allowed us to maintain the program, but also to expand the program, and that's incredible, and we can't thank everyone enough.
Hey, Judy, you said there was a lot of families that found themselves in this position for the first time, and I'm sure sometimes it's embarrassing for them to step forward and ask for help. When they go to the website, do they have to fill something out? Do they just show up at one of the sites and get the food?
Absolutely. That's something, and that's such a good question. Thank you so much. There's so much baggage when it comes to the idea of not being able to have enough food to eat if you're a kid. It's something that lasts their whole life. And as a parent, it's so hard to realize that you can't give your kid enough food to eat. You can't provide for yourself or your child, and no one's good about that. And so if you go to the Find Food tab at OperationFoodSearch.org, you just find the nearest food pantry and go to kids at operationfoodsearch.org and find the closest distribution site for kids' meals and the family food boxes. And there's no questions asked. It's everyone who shows up. We know that you wouldn't be coming if you didn't have the need. And so everyone is served and served in a gracious, dignified way. We want to honor the struggle and the resilience of families who are really suffering right now, especially during the last year. I know we manned our hunger hotline and talked to, I can't even begin to count how many people we talked to. So we felt firsthand the frustration and the anger and just the fear that people were feeling that they've never knew how to navigate any of this. And so one of the things that we were really proud of is that we were able to connect people with other relief assistance that they needed, where our advocacy team put together kind of a cheat sheet for all of the different ways besides food, where people needed help, how you navigate all that and how you would qualify. And we did it not only in English, but seven other languages. So it's to be able to extend the reach beyond just food. And we want to make sure everyone feels good about it, that the help is there when you need it. And so we want to be able to just really honor everyone and honor the dignity of the struggle.
So Mike Anderson just texted me and said that we had a listener asking if people could donate their Schnucks Rewards points. So Trish and I both represent Schnucks, and recently they made it to where you can donate your rewards points that you get when you shop at Schnucks on your app. You can donate directly to Operation Food Search. So this is a great, like, passive
it's
way to donate.
It's a great way. It is. It's an easy, no-brainer way to donate. Schnucks is our largest donor, and that's an incredible way to be able to help us by donating your points at Schnucks.
Yeah, it's
an awesome way to help. Yeah.
That's great. Okay, Judy, we're always here when you need us. Just let us know.
We love you guys. Thank you so much, and thanks to everyone out there. We're nothing without you.
Love it.
Take good care, friends.
Dependable. Traffic and weather together on the 10s. Weekday mornings on the Voice of St. Louis. KMOX.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 248. Let's see what we got coming up. 3:30, we're going to talk to George Rosenthal, the guy in charge at ThrottleNet. And not only will he talk about the ransomware and stuff, but this is really fascinating. The dark web. I mean, I've heard of the dark web. I didn't know whether it was like a password to get in or just meant like dark stuff on the internet. It's a completely different place on the internet, and you might be on it.
And not know it,
yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't like it at all. And so they do the searches for you. And he said, Dave, you would not believe it. He's like, some of the companies and muckety mucks that have had us do it, their face goes white when they see what is on the dark web. So he's going to talk about how they do that. We have Kenny the Mortician.
I don't know.
About not
that.
Confirmed. Okay.
This mortician thing's going to be the thing that takes me
It
down.
Does say.
She's going to need a mortician.
In fairness, it does say Kenny the Mortician ?
Thank
on
you.
My sheet. So.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Did you guys see this? Chick-fil-A is under fire.
Uh-oh. Again?
Yeah, but this time it's not about like human rights or anything. A Chick-fil-A worker exposed food waste at the chicken chain on TikTok. TikTok is taking on a lot of these fast food places because disgruntled employees will just throw up a little video, and it's pretty simple to go viral on TikTok. It's happened to a lot of people.
What's Chick-fil-A doing?
So apparently now this is according to TikTok. It's not like official, and I don't have the manual in front of me. But an employee of the chain posted a video on TikTok of what appears to be another worker tossing a tray of chicken nuggets into the trash, a full tray of chicken nuggets. And they captioned the video, what they do every night with the chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A. The video had more than 7 million views, and it's sparking outrage. That's what everything does, with people saying, oh, there are starving people out there, and every night you're throwing away a whole tray of nuggets. Why can't you give them out to homeless people at the end of the night? With other people saying, well, I mean, that could cause health issues, though. You can't just let chicken sit out all day and give it away to someone.
It's not just them, either.
No. Yeah, it's not just them.
Yeah,
restaurant, fast food chain. Here.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're all throwing away tons of food.
Okay, again, teaching moment here. There are two things about this, at least two. Don't just demonize someone when you don't know what the hell you're talking
about.
Because forever, restaurants have thrown out food, not just at the end of the night, but the end of a shift, at the end of a 30-minute period, whatever it happens to be. I told the story a million times about how when my friend worked at McDonald's, he'd put a bunch of cheeseburgers in a double trash bag because it was time to throw them away. We'd go by and get them out of the trash. And it's wonderful when places say we're going to make special arrangements to give this to a food pantry or to homeless people, but I mean, like you said, it's also chicken. They're throwing out chicken they don't think is safe to eat.
Yeah. We should have asked Judy that, because I'm sure that there's a reason. You know, I'm sure if a restaurateur thought that there was something they could do with the food, they would. I mean, it would be a thing. We should ask Judy. There's probably a really good reason.
Well, Chick-fil-A says that it has a food donation program called Chick-fil-A Shared Table that's been around since 2012. And that's when franchises package and send their extra food to charitable organizations like soup kitchens and nonprofits. That doesn't mean they're sending every piece of food, but I'm sure if they know there's going to be a huge surplus that day, they start packaging it up and sending it out. You know, you're right, Trish. OFS is able to accept. I don't know if they work directly with fast food organizations, but the reason why they like it when you donate cash is because they're able to, like Judy was saying, go wholesale. They can work things out with farmers. They're able to negotiate a lot more fresh food for people when they're buying it in bulk and they know exactly when they can use
it. Also, let me put on my lawyer cap. Even though it's a wonderful thing to do, these are giant corporations who are easy targets. And it's so easy for someone to say, yeah, I got the Chick-fil-A donation and I got sick. And like, it's not a reason to just say, oh, we're never going to do it. But I understand why people have to be very careful.
Yeah.
No good deed goes unpunished.
You are right.
I just made that up.
Well,
That sounds really good.
Did you see it happen? I thought, no good deed. And then just something inside me said,
saw the wheels.
Goes unpunished.
What did Andrew coin earlier? He had a great phrase.
He did. What was that?
Darn it. What were we talking about?
He had a great, I had never heard that phrase before, and it sounded amazing.
Darn it.
Wish I could remember it.
I think we were talking about quesadillas.
Let's do a couple shout outs. Global Quesadilla.
So good. We picked up Global Quesadillas for the crew today. I'd never had it before, but I had a friend that worked there for a long time, and she was always saying, like, it's so good. You have to try it.
Yeah.
These huge quesadillas, they're like 10 or 12 bucks each, but they'll feed at least two, if not three people.
Yeah.
So we have a ton of leftover quesadillas. And then
that will be handing out.
Yeah. At the corner of Olive and Tucker. Come on by.
I've been sitting out all day.
Yeah, exactly. We're not throwing them out. We don't want to end up on TikTok. And shout out to Birkenstocks and More. I went there earlier today because I've been wanting to get my own pair of Birks. I have a knockoff pair from Target that were just not working for me. And I thought, oh, I'll pull the trigger and get a real pair. And went down there and they were so great. They're down in Creve-Coeur. Check it out. If you're thinking of Birkenstocks, or they have other brands of shoes too, but It was great.
Are you gonna say the ones he wanted?
Okay, so I had been telling my friend Dave Glover for a while that I wanted to get Birkenstocks and I was gonna go to this store, and he goes, "Well, let me know when you go because I'll meet you down there
because I want to."
What's that?
Because I wear nothing.
Yeah, he loves them. So we met him down there, and he's like, "I'm looking at mine, and I see this pair. They're like fuzzy on the inside. They're Birkenstocks with fur on the inside." And I'm like, "Dave, that looks like something you would like." Like, kind of joking, but also serious because I know him. And he's like, "Well, wouldn't they get all like dirty and nasty on the inside?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know if you wore them in the fall." So then he's like, "They're Birkenstocks with fur on the inside. These are made for Dave Glover. And they're like a women's size that are two sizes too small for me." And he keeps trying on the display pair. Every time I look
trying
over.
Trying to make them fit.
Yeah. He's like, and he's going to me, he's going, "I just think I should get these because they fit. They're a little small, but I like these ones. So do you think they'll sell me these?" I'm like, "I don't think you should buy those, but."
I wear a men's 10.5, and these are like a lady's 6.5.
Oh, my God.
But they were fur.
But the more
fur.
You tried them on, you thought you'd stretch them out.
Yeah. So I'm just fit. Like, I don't care.
I swear, every time I looked over my shoulder, he's shoving his foot in this display.
I will
pair.
Die if he shows up with Birkenstocks with fur. And, like, you need a top hat.
Oh, dude.
You know,
just,
with it.
Just,
like,
count
jacket over your shoulders.
And the guy listened to the show, so he knew the show, and he was like, "Those are the only ones I have right now, but if you come back in the fall," if he only knew what I was thinking, just like, just sell me these.
You should have taken a picture, seriously.
Oh, you'll see him soon enough. You're not gonna need a picture. In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future
is coming on, it's coming on. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.